Okay, so in the brachos that Yaakov gives to the Shvatim, so Yaakov says to Yisachar, "Vayara menucha kitov, v'esaaretz kinaima v'yet shichmo lisbol." Vayara menucha kitov, that Yisachar saw that menucha, rest, peace of mind, serenity, was a good thing. V'yet shichmo lisbol, he bent his back over to do work. So it's seems like a very difficult pasuk. Seems like a complete non sequitur. On the one hand, vayara menucha kitov, Yisachar saw that menucha, rest, peace of mind, serenity is a good thing. So what did he do? Vayet shichmol ismol, he bent his back over to start working. Well, what does that mean? What's the connection between those two ideas? So Rav Yerucham explains, wants to explain this, tremendous yisod in life, with a question. He starts with another question. And people would ask, why did Hashem give the Torah in the Midbar? Why did Hashem give the Torah in the desert? And we know that in order to learn, in order to concentrate on your learning, to remember your learning, you need peace of mind, you need menuchas hanefesh, you can't be disturbed, you need to be able to concentrate. You would think the Torah should be given in Eretz Yisrael, when everybody has their piece of land, they have their trees, they have what they need, they have their chelek, we would think they would have a much greater peace of mind, much greater ability to succeed in learning, succeed in Avodas Hashem, in Limud HaTorah, when all of their material needs are provided for. Well, what's pshat? Giving Torah in the desert, if anything, that would seem to be antithetical to proper Torah learning. It's difficult, it's hot, you're traveling. Well, what's pshat? Giving the Torah in the desert. So Rav Yerucham said that the answer to that question is, just like it's true that the Torah itself is a lesson, everything in the Torah is a lesson, how we're supposed to live our lives, what's the proper way to do things. The fact that Hashem chose to give the Torah in the Midbar is also means to convey something to us. Right? And what does the Torah mean to convey? What does Hashem mean to convey by doing that? He's trying to show us what it really takes to make a kinyan on Torah. What does it really take in order to succeed in your learning, in order to succeed in avodas Hashem? How do you really attain menuchas hanefesh, peace of mind? How do you attain that? So Rav Yerucham says the following. People who have very little understanding of the way midos work, of the way we process things, of the way people feel, they think that menucha is acquired by tending to all of your bodily needs, and making sure that from a material perspective, everything is perfect in your life. All of your bodily needs are cared for. Materially speaking, you're in a perfect place. That's what will generate menucha sanefesh. But the Rav Yerucham says the opposite is true. Right? The menucha, a menucha that's generated by tending to all of your bodily needs and seeing to it that all of your creature comforts are in place, is the biggest source of bilbul. It's the biggest source of confusion. It's the biggest source of lack of menucha sanefesh. Right, once a person's peace of mind is contingent upon not lacking any aspect of material well-being, not lacking any aspect of your creature comforts, so in any situation where those things are not there, you're a mess. Right? If it's true that the only way you can have menuchas hanefesh is if everything is just so, it needs to be exactly that way, and you're tending to all of your needs and making sure everything's in place, and unless you have all of those things in place, you can't have peace of mind. So when everything is perfect, you'll be okay. But as soon as circumstances are somewhat problematic, so then you have no menuchas hanefesh. As Rabbi Yerucham says, that people who spend their lives striving for peace of mind, they think they're going to attain peace of mind by trying to make sure that all of their material needs, all of their physical desires are in place. He compares that to trying to put out a fire with oil, or trying to quench your thirst, you know, with salty water. You know, the second after you do it, it works. You're not thirsty. The fire goes down. But a second later, it's back. Well, you try to attain peace of mind by satisfying every perceived material need you have. It may work temporarily, but you're going to end up with less peace of mind in the long run. And the real way to attain peace of mind is to be more midbar-like, more desert-like, to not need so much, to get to a place where you don't need so many material things, you don't need everything to be in place, that will provide true menuchas hanefesh. Menuchas hanefesh that's able to overcome all different types of circumstances over which we have very little control. And you think about this, you know, in our own lives, you think about in your own life, you know, this is somewhat a product of abundance, a product of wealth, which Baruch Hashem is a positive thing in our communities, but, you know, to what extent are we handicapped by the things that we've come accustomed to? You know, you hear guys, I mean, it's a thing, like in yeshiva, it's a thing, people like to complain about these things. When you stop and think about it, it's so sad. Right? You think about the types of food we need to be happy. Right? My food has to be just the right way, just the right taste, just the right kind of food. And if it's not the way that I like it, so I can't eat it. I have to find somewhere else to go get food. I have to find somewhere else to go. And I'm a mess. The yeshiva has no good food. I can't eat lunch. I can't eat supper. I'm hungry. I have to spend more money. My parents already spent a lot of money. Well, you're just extremely picky. You know, you become accustomed to things being exactly the way you like it. And if it's not exactly the way you like it, so then you don't have peace of mind, and you're complaining, and you're hungry, and you have to find other places to go, and you're spending extra money on food. Like you're extremely needy as a result of the fact that you're making sure your entire life, it's been a certain way, and in order to be satisfied, in order to be happy, it needs to be exactly that way. If it's not exactly that way, you're a mess, right? Food is one area where it comes up. Comes up also sometimes, maybe more for girls than guys, but it comes up also sometimes with clothing. You know, my clothing needs to be a certain way. I'm constantly buying new clothes. My clothes have to be pressed a certain way, look a certain way. Constantly getting new things. Can't wear things over and over again. It has to be like, we get so into our wardrobes, the way that we look, the way that we're perceived by other people. And if something gets dirty or doesn't look exactly right, so then it's not so, as no gay in yeshiva, but whatever. But if, you know, people get so into their clothing and so into the way they present themselves that your peace of mind becomes contingent upon everything being exactly the right way, which is a tremendous handicap in life. You can't always control everything, and to the extent that you depend upon that, you're handicapping yourself. You know, you think about it also with regard to in so many different areas. Sometimes this is also a big thing in yeshiva. People complain about their bed. It's not exactly the way that they like. I can't sleep on a bed like that. How could it be? And sometimes people will talk to me about this. They think that it's normal. We're having a talk about their bed. It's like a half hour thing. What's the topic? Bed. And it's like a whole thing. You know, stay on my bed at home. It's like it turns into a whole nostalgic thing. People are tearing. It's like a whole thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Okay, my job is like to sort of, you know, it's okay. We're going to talk about it. It's like a whole thing. But like in the back of my mind, I'm like, this is a schmooze. Like, what are you doing right now? Right? But I'm saying people get so into certain, you know, gashmius things that need to be exactly so. And if it's not exactly that way, they can't function. Air conditioning, heat, whatever. It's a big topic for us. But these areas also, unless it's exactly the right temperature, the temperature control needs to be just right. All of these material things that are part of day-to-day life, the more we become contingent, the more that our peace of mind is a product of having exactly the right measure of exactly the food, the clothing, the temperature control, the bed, the blanket, the pillow, all these different things that have to be exactly our way, we're hurting ourselves. That's not going to generate real menuchas ha-nefesh. Yeah, when everything is in place, if it's true that everything is exactly the way you want it to be, so yes, you'll have menuchas ha-nefesh. That's true. But to the extent that you can't control that all the time, and sometimes things are beyond your control, and you can't always make sure that it's exactly the way you want it to be, so then you're a mess. And the fact that you became accustomed to all of that is actually crippling you. Not only with regard to physical states, but it's also true with regard to, material things, but also with regard to physical states. You know, sometimes you hear people say, people justify their lack of menuchas ha-nefesh, or their inability to function properly, because how tired they are. Now again, people are very tired. I'm not saying there's a thing called being tired, right? But very often people justify suboptimal behavior. Well, I'm very tired. You know, tomorrow I'll be back to myself. I'll go to sleep early and I'll be back to myself. So like that day of your life, right, you justify your failure to perform, the fact that you're snapping at people, not having patience or tolerance for people because you didn't get enough sleep. And as a result of that, right, we feel like I can't be expected to have menuchas ha-nefesh. I can't be expected to act normally and have patience and tolerance for people if I didn't get my 7.5 hours. I only slept 6 hours, I only slept 5 hours, whatever it is. So I'm putter today. Today I'm putter. I'm not expected to have menuchas ha-nefesh unless I slept exactly the right amount. Where does it say that? There's a halacha that says that somewhere, unless you slept 7.5 hours? It doesn't say that anywhere. Right? We cripple ourselves with these beliefs that we adopt, that unless I slept exactly the right amount. If I feel hungry, I'm hungry right now. I can't talk to people. I can't be involved. I can't have patience for people. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Right? So we have all these things. Like I'm saying, we have all. But it's funny because it's funny, but it's sad at the same time that like we make our menuchas ha-nefesh. We decide that our menuchas ha-nefesh is contingent upon all these things, and as a result of that, whenever things are not exactly the way they're supposed to be, so we don't have the ability to maintain our composure. People have it also. This is probably less nogeya to you guys now, but it's very nogeya when you get when you get married, a bunch of kids running around. People who feel like they can't have menuchas nefesh unless it's quiet. I can't be expected to have menuchas unless it's quiet. I can't be expected to have menuchas nefesh unless there's no dirt, there's nothing on this floor, the toys aren't scattered all over the place. You walk into your house, there's toys everywhere. Your wife is on the couch, like she's asleep, she can't even function. And like you're all angry, and you have no patience for your kids because there are toys everywhere. Where does it say that you can't be composed just because there's toys on the floor? Where does it say that? Right? We make all of these conditions on our menuchas hanefesh that be'etzem handicap us tremendously. And as a result of that, we're not able to function properly. We don't have the proper patience, the proper tolerance, the proper sensitivities for other people, because we've decided that our menuchas hanefesh needs, you know, conditions A through Z to be in place. Otherwise, we have a checklist of 26 things. Unless they're all in place, I don't have menuchas hanefesh. All those things need to be in place. Doesn't say that anywhere, right? Real growth as a person, real growth as an individual demands that we become more like the Midbar, right? We don't have, it's true, there's not a lot in the Midbar, there's not a lot going on there, and that's where the Torah was given, to show you that real menuchas hanefesh is a product of divorcing yourself from material need, not needing all of these things. It's okay to have it, it's a problem to need it. That's the yesod. It's okay, a person has money, they want to be comfortable, because they're dying, it's fine. But once you start needing it, that's a tremendous handicap. That's crippling. Once you need those things, you become so accustomed to them that if you don't have them, you can't function. You can't imagine living without it. Oh my gosh. So then you're in trouble. Then you're in trouble. Then the wealth and then the abundance has become a handicap for you. We're a product of the way we were raised. We're a product of the environment that we come from. And to a certain extent, you know, we don't really have control over these things. When we're growing up, we don't think about this. This is just the way we were raised, and there's certain things we become accustomed to as a result of that. But we do have the ability to determine, first of all, for ourselves, to try to think more seriously about all these things that our peace of mind is contingent upon, and maybe we can start chipping away at them and becoming bigger people as a result. We also have huge decisions to make about what we're going to do for our own children. How are we going to raise them? Right, there's a tremendous tension in raising your children. Tremendous tension. On the one hand, right, if you have the means, you want to provide for them. You want to give them. You want things to be comfortable and smooth and easy for them all the time. But at the same time, the more you do that, the more they become dependent on that. And the more they become dependent on that, the more crippled they are, because if they don't have it, they're a mess. Right? You want your kids also to have endurance. You want them to be able to stand up to difficult situations. To the extent that you're constantly pampering them and taking care of every single need that they have, extra comfortable, extra stuff all the time. So then whenever that level is not met, so then they can't function. Their peace of mind is affected adversely. Right? You're going to have to make decisions like that with your kids. I mean, a thinking parent is thinking about these kind of things. Do I want to do that? Do I want that to be the standard in my house? Do I want it to be that my kids think that this is normal, that this is something that's expected? What if they don't have that? What if they don't have it? What if they go to camp and they don't have it? What if they don't have money when they get older? What if things are more difficult for them when they get older? Do I want that to be the standard of living that I'm getting my kids accustomed to? Is that really a matana to the kid? You know, in the short term, it is a matana. That's what it seems like. In the long term, though, is that really the best thing for them? Right? To make our kids needy and demanding, and unless they have X, Y, and Z, they can't be happy because that's the way they were raised for the 20 years that they were under our, you know, under our roof. So are you really doing your kids a tova by doing that? You have to figure those things out. A lot of it depends on where you live and the standards, and it's complicated. But to realize this idea that the more that you're pampering, the more that you're giving, the more comfort and luxury you get your children accustomed to, the more you become accustomed to, the more needy you become, the less peace of mind you have. The more you need to make sure that everything's exactly so in order to be able to concentrate. Yisachar saw that menucha was good. He bent his back over to work. He did not start pursuing luxury and pursuing materialism. That's not going to generate menucha. You want menucha? You have to know how to work. That'll give you menucha. To not need all of those material things, to not need all of those gashmiyustik things, that'll give you true menucha. That's what Yaakov Avinu was saying. True menucha, that's vayetshich molisbo. Counterintuitive to what we would think, but that's the way things actually work. The Saba Mikelm, pointed out, he asked Akasha in Parshas Bo, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, so it says, Vayisa ha'ames betzeiko teram yechmatz, Right, that the Am took their dough before it had risen. Ki gorshu mi Mitzrayim, they were chased out of Mitzrayim. V'lo yachlu l'smameya, they couldn't delay. The Gam Seida lo asulem, they also hadn't prepared food either. They ran out of Mitzrayim so fast, their bread hadn't risen, they didn't have food for the derech, they ran out. So the Sab Mikhail asked, like, Hashem could have told Moshe to have them bake their bread a little bit earlier. I mean, Hashem knew they were leaving that night. There was no skin off Hashem's back. Hashem could have made sure there would have been bread ready. Hashem could have made sure there would have been food ready. Why taka? Why was it this way? So the Sabbath Mikhelm said that this was a bechina, it was a test and a hachana, preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. If it would be true that when Klal Yisrael ran out of Mitzrayim, right, and they didn't have food to take with them, and their bread hadn't risen, like they couldn't handle that. They were all shaken up by that. Their peace of mind was disturbed. They're not ready for Kabbalah Satorah. You're not ready for Kabbalah Satorah. This was a test for them. You're going to run out of Mitzrayim. You have no food. Your bread hasn't risen, and everybody's okay. Everything's fine. It's going to be fine, right? To realize that it's going to be okay. I don't need that. I don't need to know that all of my needs are going to be provided for. I'm going to be okay. I'm not contingent upon that. True peace of mind, true ability to focus on your learning, to grow as an individual, is moving away from these things. It's a tremendous Maharal. Famous question, maybe you guys have heard this question. There's different answers to the question. Every answer is like a tremendous Yisod in Hashkafa. But the question is, one of the answers we'll talk about in Mirza Shavuot in a few weeks from now, but one of the question is, right, why is it true, right, we eat at the Seder, we eat matzah, which is lechem oni, right, the bread that we ate while we were slaves. This lechem oni was the bread that we ate while we were slaves in Mitzrayim. Why is that the symbol of Chayrus? Right? If anything, matzah reminds us of the Shibud. Matzah is what we ate while we were Avadim. What's pshat that this lechem oni, is something that we eat as a symbol of Chayrus? So the Maharal says that real freedom is the realization that I don't need Gashmius. That's freedom. You want freedom? If for freedom you need fancy bread, you have to go to the bakery and get fancy bread, fancy food, you're not really free. You're meshubah to your taivas. You're meshubah to the fact that you need all of that fancy food in order to have menuchas hanefesh. Hashem is telling you, you want to really be free? You can leave and still eat matzah. Even though you're free now, even though you're free and you can have whatever you want, you don't need it. Once you need gashmius, you're finished. If you need it, you're in big trouble. So the Maharal says, that's why Hashem said, you're leaving Mitzrayim now. Show that even though you left and you can have whatever you want, you still eat matzah? The Haini, I don't need more than matzah. I'm fine with matzah. True, I'm free now. I can do whatever I want. I don't need more than matzah. I'm okay. It's not true that as a result of my freedom, I became meshubah to gashmias. Once you're meshubah to gashmias, your menuchas and nefesh will not be in place. You know, our natural propensity is not this way. The natural propensity of people, we think that our peace of mind, our menuchas and nefesh, is dependent on material things. You know, that attitude, that approach is greatly aggravated, you know, by the secular media, which is constantly making us feel that we need so much in order to be happy, in order to be satisfied. And I must have spoken about this with Rabbi Berger once. I have written down here. I don't know. Rabbi Berger told me that there's a quote that the purpose of the capitalist economy is to have people feel a sense of permanent dissatisfaction. Constantly, you're always dissatisfied, always. Right, you always need something else. Whatever you have, you always need more than that. That's the society in which we live, and we always think that unless we have the next thing, we're not actually going to be happy. Part of the avoda, really, part of avodas Hashem, a big part of avodas Hashem, part of avodas Amidos, is to get to a place where you start chiseling away at all of the perceived needs that you have. All these things that you think you need in order to be happy, you need them in order to feel that you have menuchas nefesh, starting to attack those things. It's not true that I need that. It's not true that I need that. I'm able to maintain my peace of mind notwithstanding whatever perceived needs that I have. I'm going to start attacking them one at a time. You know, I think I need this type of food. I think I need this amount of money. I think I need this amount of sleep. I think I need this amount of quiet, to slowly start to chisel away at that. You know, when you're a parent, Mirtz Hashem, you have two choices. Either you can do this avoda or be miserable and be a really bad father. Those are pretty much your choices. You have kids running around, making noise, they're not doing anything wrong. They're not bad people. They're running around. They're being regular, rambunctious kids, making a lot of noise, making messes. And how do you deal with that? Right? Either you're going to have to get to a place where that doesn't bother you because they're not being bad, and you can still be a great father and be gishmak with them and talk to them and joke around with them and love them and hug them, even though they're doing things that used to make you crazy. Or you can let that stuff still make you crazy and be an uptight, anxious father who's saying things to his kids that should never be said because they're not doing anything wrong. So those are pretty much your choices. So yeah, it's true. When you're a father, Mir Tashem, you're going to have to make that choice for yourself. You're going to figure out, you know, where do I stand on this? Am I going to get over my stuff and become a better father, more loving father? Or am I going to stay with my stuff and compromise my ability to father my children? But it behooves all of us already at this point in our lives, before we reach the pressure points, to start working on these things, to identify the things that I think that I need in order to have menucha sanefesh. Yaakov Avinu is teaching us, you want menucha? Vayetshich molispo. The Torah is given in the Midbar, this idea, the more Midbar-like we are, the more we're ready to work, the less gashmias we think we need, the more free that we are. And to the extent that we still have things in our lives that we're clinging to, that we feel like we absolutely need, and these are things that are external to us that we don't have complete control over, to realize that that's a shibud, that's mamash a shibud. And we don't want our menuchas ha-nefesh to be meshubud to things that we don't have control over, because that makes you a very weak person. You're extremely weak if your menuchas ha-nefesh is contingent upon external things over which you have little to no control. That's the avoda. So the avoda is to try to internalize this message and try to live in a way that we're moving away from these material, these perceived material needs. And the more you realize that you don't need those material things in order to have menuchas hanefesh, the freer you'll become, and the more menuchas hanefesh you'll have.